Welcome to the airport lounge. Table for two gentlemen? Right this way. Here's your booth. Have a great show.
Welcome to the Airport Lounge, the Winnipeg Jets podcast, much like Rod Peterson, making stuff up. I'm Mike Guthrie, and I'm joined by my good friend, whose voice is the combination of Fergie and Jesus, Vaughn Mitchell. How's it going, buddy?
Well, Mike, I'm feeling kind of lousy, as in a lousy player kind of lousy.
Oh.
As in Adam Lowry's Twitter handle. Mike, you made a simple but solid tweet about Adam Lowry's ongoing good play at the World Championships, and we've never seen so many retweets in the airport lounge. Well done.
Well, in comparison, the numbers are very low, but for us, it was it was viral. Such thing exists for the airport lounge.
It was viral in the airport lounge. Like it's a small lounge. There's not a lot of room. Can't fit a lot of people in there. But it was nice to see some response on Twitter. And hey, as you've said many times, this is our love letter to the Jets. We don't do it for anyone but ourselves. And if someone else can, enjoy it and have a laugh, then all the better.
Speaking real quick, we hadn't touched on this pre-podcast. Just a shout out. This is a shout out to Johnny because I know it's his favorite movie. Top Gun Maverick coming out this Friday.
Ooh.
Are you going to be standing in line with your two boys?
Oh, absolutely not. but we are working on a bit of a movie theme for this podcast.
We are. Good transition.
Yeah, it was a bit of the catalyst to getting us back together. I think you've been away and I've been super busy at work. We've had our spring practices with the football team. So, there hasn't been a lot of focus on hockey and all things Jets. So we're going to get back into it. And so, as most of the Jets slide into their off-season routine, we here at the Airport Lounge are taking this time to honor two of the main pillars of any NHLer's off-season. That's right, boats and hose.
I wonder if you're going to work that in. You're coming right off the top rope. Good for you.
No NHLer would imagine surviving nearly 4.5 months off work with millions of dollars to spend, okay, without the spiritual contribution these two things make to their lives. So, Winnipeg Jets players, these boats and hose are for you, regardless of which water dock strip bar you're at.
My dad's not going to like this episode. It's already getting salty. Okay, so well, first we're going to do a bit of a, we'll do check-in time.
Just checking in, gentlemen. Our drink special today is the Logan Stanley. That means tall boys are half off.
Okay, well, obviously no games, but lots of pitter-patter around not only Jets Twitter, but the Jets organization. We'll obviously start with the hot-button issue, and that's who we're going to hire as the next head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. There has been some rabid rumors around that Trotz was going to be, it was a confirmed designation for the head coach position that has since been debunked. And it's something where it sounds to me, at least from the zero sources that we have, that it's still very much up in the air and that everyone who says otherwise is probably wildly speculating. Looking at you, Rod Peterson. And so it was something, Vaughn, I know you had some fun on Twitter. And by all accounts, it seems like the folks at JetCentric and Spinnerama Hockey, they seem like awesome folks. And by all accounts, I think their material is very good. It was just, it was a bit of a controversy where they had reported that it was a done deal. And obviously, subsequently, it wasn't. And people did not take kindly to that. They take their Jets news very seriously. But it is something where, again, minor controversy, but it was something where it was reported that it was done and it wasn't. And so we all wait with bated breath to see what's going to happen with the coaching hire.
So what do we know? We know that the Jets have definitely interviewed Trotz, and he is definitely the overwhelming favorite amongst Jets fans. Okay, as you mentioned, there's other local podcasts that tried to jump the shark and announce his imminent signing. Then, as you said, it didn't happen. This jumping the shark incident was about as impressive as the 1977 episode of Happy Days when Fonzie
literally jumped
the shark on water skis, which is actually what bore this saying.
Yes, very good. Yeah.
That's where it comes from. So, yes, definitely there's some jumping of the shark here. So, you know, I think I can speak for both of us when I say this podcast has no interest in creating and maintaining the relationships nor doing the work required to be an effective insider for hockey information.
Absolutely not.
We prefer to let things happen and then force our misguided opinions onto the dozens and dozens who listen to this narrative-setting podcast.
You complete me. That's exactly it.
But let's talk about Barry Trotz and kind of where he fits into our perspective of what the Jets need. I think, as I mentioned, he is the overwhelming favorite. I do think purportedly what his strengths are would help solve some of the Jets' problems, which is, you know, allowing other teams into the middle of the ice. His teams defend the middle of the ice very well.
Yeah, very good defensive schemes.
Some of the things that may not make him the perfect fit are he also relies on veterans a lot and has a bit, apparently, of not a great record at developing young players.
Talent, so which we're used to.
That's a bit of a, yeah, which we're used to. So I do think he's a credible, accomplished NHL coach. I think he would bring more to the table than what we've had in the past, and I think it would be a good hire. I don't think it's the be-all, end-all that people are making it out to be. And I'm going to be honest here. Really, what we can do, I think, is really just kind of talk about Trotz. Like, I don't know if Kirk Muller would be any good for the Jets. I really don't. From Twitter, there sure seems like to be a lot of bad coaches out there that have spent a lot of time coaching in the NHL.
Right.
So it's really going to be hard to say. So here's what I would say. Trotz, probably good, but not the be-all, end-all, and we can't lose our collective minds if it isn't him. Because ultimately, it's not within the Jets' control whether he signs or not. This
right.
is something that is outside, the control of this situation is outside of the organization. And I think, and I'll turn it over to you, I think they're going to open the door for him, roll out the red carpet. You know, they're going to throw money at him. They're going to throw management opportunities at him, most likely. And ultimately, he's going to decide what's best for him and his family. So I'm hopeful, but I won't be apoplectic if it doesn't happen.
Right. So a few things on that. I disagree to a certain extent. I'm a bit worried that as part of his move, and it seems to be public knowledge, that any move that he makes coaching-wise, he'd be looking to transition to whether it's a GM or head of hockey operations. And I'm not sure, given sort of the insular nature of sort of the upper management of the Jets, that is something that would be readily relinquished, you know, whether forced or not, by Chevy. And the big one is Chipman, because I think he holds a sort of broader power stick than we might consider. And I'm not sure if this organization is ready to say to transition that plan and put it into effect to say, yeah, you know, coach for 2-3 years, see if you can get us over the hump, and then we'll make you, you know, head of hockey operations, so you become GM and Chevy takes that role, and Mark Chipman, you're gonna sort of sit on the sidelines, and now we've got two hockey minds operating the Jets, and you're gonna be sort of phased out again. This is all just speculation. So that's my worry. I think that we would offer him... I saw some articles saying that we didn't have the sort of financial wherewithal to pay him. And we were paying Maurice a lot of money, more than we should have been.
Yeah,
I don't see that as a barrier. I do worry a little bit that he's... The move to management might be something that sort of the brass are a little reluctant to do. The other part of it is... I will be a little apoplectic because, again, you're absolutely right. I 100% agree with your analysis on him and his coaching style, but I think he brings an immediate gravitas to the room. And depending on where you stand and what you read, the reports coming sort of fast and furious about the sort of disengaged and fractured nature of the Jets dressing room, they vary. Sometimes people say it's overblown. Like Murat was very diplomatic in his most recent article, But you read some, and they say that it's been terrible for years, over 5 years, and that, you know, they're factions. And this is something we've talked about for quite some time. And the degree of truth to any of it, we would never know because we're not in the dressing room. But there's obviously a problem. You don't end the season the way you do and have the press conferences that you did without recognizing there's a significant problem there. And to me, I would think that Trotz immediately brings that, okay, we're hitting the restart button. I've won a Stanley Cup. Whether you buy into that wholeheartedly or not, it's a badge, and you can't take that badge away. And to me, without like Scott or Neil, or it's just the options outside of Trotz to me are not as appealing, and I might be drinking the Kool-Aid a little, but I'm a little concerned that it's taking this long. I understand that he's a very sort of thorough and considerate individual, and this is probably just part of the process. But again, the U of M connection, it's just all exciting, and so I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Fair enough. I just looked up how old Kevin Sheveldayoff is, and he's only 52 years old.
Right.
Which makes me question what I've been doing with my life.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Because I'm 51, for those who are listening. And, you know, I do think that you bring up a lot of good points. I do think who you are in that room matters as much as what you bring. And I think that that's probably a little bit more preeminent in the game of hockey than in other sports.
Yeah.
I think every professional athlete will look to the coach and try to figure out, can this person help me succeed? And in my game, football, I think there's a much broader view as to, like, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You look at some of the greatest coaches in football today, they weren't NFL players, you know, and there's a long history of that. So perhaps that feeds into it, there being that long history of coaches that weren't players. But I do think that, you know, in this particular case, if you need to to bring in a heavy hand, you need to have that gravitas behind it,
yeah,
that Stanley Cup ring, to say, hey, you know, I've been there, I've done it. You may disagree with me, but, you know, show me the rings on your finger, and, you know, show me yours and I'll show you mine, kind of thing. So, you know, I do think that we do have some time to play, because we're not going to be big on the unrestricted free agent market. So it's not like things need to be solved imminently. But obviously, the longer it goes on and the uncertainty that's involved, isn't good. Typically, an NHL doesn't like to have big moves during the playoffs. They want to wait till after. I don't know if this would qualify as that. I know they like to hold off on.
Oh, fair. You know, that's big, a good point. I never thought about
big trades until after the playoffs. But yeah, it's going to be a fun summer, I think, when all is said and done, to see what coach we bring in and then what moves in the lineup that precipitates. And I'm going to get into it a little bit later with our fake mailbag and throw out some things as to, you know, what could happen and what we'd like to see. But yeah, maybe this is something that we'll obviously continue to watch. And unlike the World Championships, which I have not been watching a ton of, I've peeked to see.
No, you know, I've watched highlights.
I've seen our guys a little bit and watched Adam Lowry in PLD with Canada, Nick Ehlers with Denmark, and Nate Schmidt with the USA. I haven't seen Nate Schmidt, but I watched the Canada-Denmark game, and I watched...
We didn't see Nate Schmidt all year anyway.
Oh.
So, it's and we read about it. It's nice to see that they're doing well, and in fact, you know, Nikolai Ehlers' play factors into one of our awards that we're going to be handing out in just a few minutes.
Absolutely. And, you know, PLD in particular, very small sample size, but seems to be thriving. And obviously you look at the Canadian roster and it's not chock full of all-stars, but he seems to be gelling and being very productive. Just more reason why, and we've discussed this last podcast, why the Jets, you know, after getting a coach, should make it a priority to see if we can settle him down long term.
Yeah, so let's not get into it too deep now. I do have a provocative question in the mailbag. So why don't we go, and I know our lounge lizards that listen to the podcast each and every time we put out a podcast, they've been waiting for this, and it's our year-end awards. I've got five, I think. What did you have? four or five?
I've got five. Yeah.
You've got five. So we'll just go back and forth, and I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Sure. So to preface this, Vaughn and I are both stunted individuals and stuck in sort of arrested development. So I think I speak for both of us. One of our favorite movies is the Will Ferrell machine Step Brothers. So a lot of, I'll just say it, a lot of my awards are Step Brothers related. And
if you
haven't seen the movie, stop the podcast because we've already got the click. Go watch the movie. It's awesome. And the awards will make a lot more sense. But I'll kick us off. So obviously there was a scene in the movie, and it'll be very self-evident. The Testicles to the Drum Set Award goes to Mark Scheifele. Because the end of the season was basically like rubbing your testicles on somebody's drum set. And I know you probably more so than me felt a bit violated. The one thing I did see the other day, there was a games above replacement, a GAR stat from 2000, 2021 and 2022 comparing Connor and Scheifele, and the stats are almost identical.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And basically the premise is that they're both very gifted offensively and they're both very terrible defensively. And when you stat it out, there's not a lot of difference over the last 3 years. Now, qualifier to that is that, in my opinion, and I think many people's opinion, Connor improved, albeit maybe somewhat slightly, this year on the defensive end and showed a bit more effort. And this was a 3-year sort of sample size. But again, I give Mark this award somewhat in jest, but I do think it's important to remember that he still is a very gifted offensive player. And like we said in our last podcast, we're not sure where his future lies with the Winnipeg Jets. But it was sort of a stain at the end of the year that I think everyone's still talking about.
It's a wonderful example about how your eyes can lie to you and how there's more to the game than simply what you see, in that their stats are the same, but somehow everyone was very much down on Mark Scheifele, and rightfully so, for the dramatic errors he made in the defensive zone. But, you know, Kyle Connor was equally as ineffective in the defensive zone. So building on that, I have a similar award. My first award I want to hang out is the Just Watching Cops Award.
Why are you so sweaty? I was watching Cops.
So this, you'll remember Will Ferrell lying on the couch, you know, his brother comes in and says, what are you doing? He's just watching Cops, but he's all sweaty, right? So this award goes to the Winnipeg Jet, who appears to be just minding his own business, but has likely done something mean to someone else when no one was looking. The winner is Mark Scheifele.
Oh, so double award winner right off the top.
Yeah, double award winner, but we were of the same mind. And then they go upstairs and it's the whole balls on the drums. And so we were
look at us. Simpatico. We didn't even plan that.
We didn't. We were simpatico. Like our main objective here is just to make each other laugh. So we don't share this stuff in advance because we want honest responses from one another, but it's nice to see we're on the same page there. We thought of the same scene and the same winner. So back to you. Who gets
all right,
next award?
The Make Your Own Bunk Bed Award goes to Kevin Cheveldayoff. Now, this to me was the funniest part of the movie, where they manufacture the bunk beds together, and it obviously ends in a disaster. And again, we've talked about this, but Cheveldayoff, I'll give him full credit and marks for trying. We needed defensive help. We brought in defensive help, but the bunk beds collapsed on each other. So the award goes to him.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. My next award is the Prestige Worldwide Award. So if you'll recall, the Prestige Worldwide was the company the two boys formed after they couldn't find a job in the real world because they're utterly unemployable. So this Prestige Worldwide Award for me goes to Nikolaj Ehlers for not only a good season in the NHL, but then taking his grade A game over to Finland and the World Championships.
Oh, there you go.
Where he led Denmark to several victories, including one over the mighty Canadian squad. So he's really taking his game to multiple continents. Prestige worldwide.
Prestige worldwide. Why?
Nikolaj Ehlers, get ready. World domination 2022-2023.
Nice. And I couldn't agree with you more. And it's amazing to me that he finished the season with the sixth most ice time for forwards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's got to change. But obviously, regardless of coaching, that's just got to change because he is arguably our best forward. But my next one is the Pam Pan Award.
Sorry, who is this gentleman sitting behind you?
Hello, Ms. Lady. I'm Dale. I'm Brennan's stepbrother. And I think I might be able to help with the Pan Pam dilemma.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Pam.
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 I thought, yeah.
Go ahead. This one, this is self-serving. This goes to me.
Ooh.
For getting all the names wrong, and for and it's a tip of the cap to you, sir, for deftly trying to steer me in the right direction when I'm saying Schmidt and just about butchering every name, and with the help of some clever editing, there's about five or six of them that were missed over the year or that I cut out over the course of this year. So congratulations to me for an ineptitude award.
All right. Well, continuing on the theme of language. The next award is the Catalina Wine Mixer Award, also known as the Portivolare Award. Okay?
This award
goes to the Winnipeg Jet, who delivers a passionate performance to save what might otherwise have been a disastrous event. This year's winner, Josh Morrissey.
Oh, my goodness.
After a rather disastrous season last year, Josh came forward this season with an impassioned performance reminiscent of Brendan and Dale's inspiring performance of Portivolare at the Catalina Wine Mixer. It's hard to imagine what the event might have been without this inspired performance.
Well done, A, because you nailed the Italian. You landed that plane well. And B, because my next one was I Thought You Were Dead Award, which goes to Josh Morrissey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And same concept. Brennan's burying Dale, and we had buried Josh Morrissey a long time ago. And this season was a complete rejuvenation, just like Dale's resurfaced after getting buried alive by Will Ferrell. And so just real quick, again, it's obviously the play showed on the ice. But statistically, I was looking this up, and he had his best year ever. Again, you take that, like, expected goals, 55%. Corsi and Fenwick up around 54%. And he had never really crossed the 50% barrier at any point in his career up to this point. And essentially, the stats back up what we saw. And so, again, we're simpatico. It's a dual awards for Josh Morrissey and Mark Scheifele.
Awesome. Okay, so moving on. My next award, controversial. It's called the Getting Railed at the Dental Convention Award. So if you remember right at the outset, you know, the dad and the mom, that they meet, and I believe it's a dental convention, and they hook up and then they move in together. And that's what brings Brennan and Dale together. They end up living in the same house. So this award goes to the Winnipeg Jet, whose relationship started by getting fucked unexpectedly enduring a marriage that was destined to fail and ending an inevitable divorce. Because that's the plot of the movie, at least with those two.
Basically,
guys. Yeah. The winner is Ville Heinola.
Oh, well done. I'm glad he's represented in the awards.
This isn't an award you necessarily want to win, but an award nonetheless.
No, and well-deserved is probably the wrong term, but I'm glad it was called out. Very well done. So my last one is the Do You Want to Go Do Karate in the Garage Award.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
And the inaugural winner of this is Logan Stanley. And the reason for that is because you know who goes and does karate in the garage? Fake tough guys. You know who's a fake tough guy? Logan Stanley. Logan Stanley.
I thought maybe you were funny about it. Oh, it's true. I thought maybe you were going to go, like, you know, they go do karate in the garage, and it's like, did we just become best friends? And I was thinking that could be Kyle Connor and PLD.
I had that iteration down, but any chance that I can take to take pot shots at Logan Stanley,
I'm glad he's represented. The last one I have is not stepbrothers related, but I think it's well deserved and well earned, and I'll have some stats to back it up here. Not a lot of stats. Okay, it's called the Good Enough for Government Award. Okay. This year's winner is Charlie Huddy. Okay, so Charlie Huddy's rumored to be in charge of the penalty killing, And over the last 11 seasons, it hasn't shown very well for the Jets. Over that time, the Jets have the sixth worst PK in the NHL, killing only 79.7% of penalties. Well, sixth worst doesn't sound as bad as 28th. They're 28th in the league in the last 11 years on the PK. It's impressive that he's kept his job for that long. This is the type of performance and output metrics we like in the public sector. As the saying goes, that's good enough for government. With the exception that we're dealing with problems that can't be solved, have never been solved, using limited resources and insufficient staff, none of which are limitations for Charlie Huddy. But maybe that's a little different, that we're actually dealing with real-world problems and he can't solve the penalty kill. But anyways, Charlie Huddy, I just want to let you know, if you are in fact leading the penalty kill, you are good enough for government.
Perfect.
We had actual responses on Twitter.
Oh, right.
So apologies if I get these monikers, titles wrong. But three guys responded. Well, I shouldn't say guys. I assume they're guys. At Dave Schapansky. Goalies that should never be allowed out of the net award. Winner is Connor Hellebuyck.
Dave.
Okay. At Zed and Breakfast. I like that one.
That's
Zed,
a good.
Not, yeah. Not Bed and Breakfast. Zed and Breakfast. Okay. That wasn't so bad, but I still get nervous when he is in award. Winner? Eric Comrie.
Agreed.
Okay.
That he's a UFA, so I'll be interested to see if we sign him, but I still get nervous.
And at Ray Strachan Axe, I want to go to China during the pandemic award. Winner is Connor Hellebuyck. The goalies featured very prominently, and I guess that they sensed that we were going to leave them out. Maybe this is a message that we don't focus enough on the goaltending.
It's probably true.
Yeah. So I want to thank Dave, Zed, and Ray for responding. I would like to say we'd get you an Airport Lounge t-shirt, but they don't exist. So you
I've got a hoodie.
As thanks, you have not only... Yeah, thanks for getting me a hoodie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You not only have this podcast as our thanks, but our undying and unyielding respect. So thanks for responding, guys. And I just wanted to give a shout out to those three guys. You wanted to close it up, Mike.
Thank you for that. And those were great. What we'll transition to our in-flight entertainment.
Right now, we're bringing you some in-flight entertainment.
So we were going to feign that these were actually real mailbag questions from real listeners, but we knew no one could suspend disbelief for that long, and no one would believe that we actually got 8 to 10 actual questions from actual listeners. So we've come up with our own mailbag.
We're
product of necessity. And so we'll go through. Vaughn, I think you've got about 5. I've got about 3. So do you want to kick us off with our fake mailbag?
So my first fake one from the mailbag, pull it out. Pull it out. If the Jets had to choose one of PLD and Scheifele, who would you pick and why?
Oh, this is a good one. It's easy to trend with the emotions on this one because my sort of snap answer is PLD, but you got to consider contract length, past production. While PLD is, I think both you and I are very high on him and think he has a great future ahead, he still hasn't put together, to my mind, a sort of a complete season.
Exactly.
And while he is much more responsible defensively, he's not a defensive stalwart and has lapses, but he also hasn't shown the offensive production that Scheifele has proven year after year he can produce. And so I think my answer, I am going to go with emotion. I'm going to say PLD because I don't think Mark Scheifele wants to be here anymore. I mean, in a vacuum, if all circumstances were similar, I probably would go Scheifele. But just given the contextual anomalies associated with this, I'll go PLD.
Yeah, I think you hit on all the right notes there. I'm not convinced PLD is a number one center or a top 10 or 15 NHL center, first line center in the NHL. Where I think Scheifele is. I think Scheifele is certainly a top 20, if not top 15, number one center
and
in the NHL.
And he's proven it.
He's older. His cap number is probably going to be better going forwards. But I think in terms of risk management, First, and the other thing we don't know, I mean, it's nice to crap on Shifley and laud PLD. We don't know if PLD wants to be here. Maybe he wants out of here as much as Shifley does. My point is we don't know. But I think I would lean towards PLD for two main reasons. Number one, he's younger. And number two, he fits very well with Kyle Connor, who's under contract for an extended period of time. So you have the makings of a solid first line there. Now, what you want to do on the right wing, you know, whatever. But I do think that if we're forced to choose, I think, and given that we'll, if we keep one, they'll be happy and productive and non-toxic, which I'm just, from the parameters of this debate,
yeah,
I choose PLD.
Okay, no, and fair enough. And it's not as easy as it would seem in this moment in time. If you give it a little consideration. That was a great question. I'm going to go again, as I usually do, on the silly side. And I promise this is the last Step Brothers reference. But a fake listener asked, which one of you is Dale Doback and who is Brendan Huff? And I thought we'll go on the count of three and say which one that you think that you are. 3, 2, 1, Brendan.
Will Ferrell. I don't know. I can't keep this straight in my head. I think I'm more... I don't know. I don't know if I identify with either of them. I don't know.
No, I thought you were more of a Dale, because you are like, you are stronger in your resolve and less prone to second guess, which is you absolutely should be that way. And I'm a little more uncertain and unconfident, which is sort of Will Ferrell's whole shtick. And Dale seems to be the confident, cocksure one. And between the two of us, I would give you that over me.
And despite your kind plaudits in the opening, I do not have a voice that is a mix of Fergie and Jesus. I cannot sing. So that perhaps disqualifies me in and of itself. So, wow, you had put a lot of thought into that. I'm impressed. And really, I'm turning my brain off when I watch that movie. I'm glad to hear that you never turned your brain off. That's awesome.
All right, you're up.
Okay, pulling something out of the mailbag here. Okay, here it goes. Can you do your own fucking laundry for once? Sorry, that's... That's from my wife. That's from my wife.
Well, anyways, played.
Okay. The next one. Okay.
The production values here are amazing.
Oh, through the roof. Is it okay to be cheering for the New York Rangers to win at least a couple rounds so the Jets can get an extra first round draft pick? Is it okay to be cheering for the Rangers?
Absolutely. And I know, Vaughn, you're of the mindset, and we are very similar in this way, that I kind of turn the playoffs off if the Jets aren't in it, and yeah. I need some healing time, and then I usually get geared up for the second round. But I have a friend who I was traveling with, and he is a huge Calgary Flames, so I watched a lot of that first round series and was really engaged and was very much cheering for the Flames. And so in that vein, yes, absolutely. If it benefits the Jets, go Rangers. And we've got our, you know, some of our affiliates to the Face Off Hockey Network, Nick, who does the Rangers feed. You know, I like Nick, and so if it makes him happy, great. So double win. So shorter answer is absolutely go Rangers.
Yeah, you know, I have been following the Rangers series a little bit, and I have to admit, when I've watched the game, I felt a little bit of that. You know, that of which you feel when you watch the Jets. I'm not saying the feeling is the same, but I just get a little bit of that twinge that I guess equates to caring. Whereas I turn on those other games and, you know, I was at Smitty's after a practice, and we were watching that Calgary-Edmonton game that went to 9-6 or whatever. And I was just laughing at both teams. Like, you both suck. You know, like, if I'm watching, it's with, like, I want both teams to lose kind of thing. But I'm actually, I find myself cheering for the Rangers. It's nice to watch a couple ex-Jets have some success. It's nice to be able, like, you're indirectly cheering for the Jets. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like Ross and Rachel, we're on a break. So I don't know. What do you want, Jets? We're on a break.
Nice. Okay, my next one is, by my count, we have seven pending UFAs, Brooks, Luke Johnson, Austin Pagansky, Sanford, Paulie Walnuts, CJ Cease, and Comrie. Which one of those, if any, should, and we've talked about Stastny already, so maybe I'll eliminate him, but which one of the remaining would you, or any, put as a priority for the Winnipeg Jets to sign?
Well, if you eliminate Stastny, which I think is, so really we're down to Zach Sanford or Eric Comrie. And
not Adam Brooks. Think,
don't even get me started.
Continue.
When I was writing stuff for this podcast, my first thing was like best impersonation of an NHLer. And it was all be about Adam Brooks and him being a child actor and all that stuff. Then it just didn't make the cut. I came up with better stuff, but no, I'm not spending any more time talking about him.
Agreed.
As we said, we're talking Eric Comrie or Zach Sanford. So here's what I was going to say. I think Zach Sanford's role on the third line can easily be filled by Morgan Barron. I really like Morgan Barron. I think he's going to be will be a better version of what we want than Zach Sanford is right now. And I think Zach Sanford, his salary is something like $3.5
million. Yeah, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. So I absolutely go Eric Comrie, who I think has deserved it. I jettison Zach Sanford, and I put Morgan Barron into that role. That's what I do.
I wish I could disagree with you because, again, it makes it more interesting. But at a reasonable price, absolutely, let's bring Comrie back. Sanford gone, Brooks gone, and the rest. I'm, you know, CJ Cease at this point. Likeable guy, decent enough hockey player, but you know, it's been long enough where you're just not going to make you're not going to crack an NHL lineup consistently, not without some serious injury help. So, yeah, no, I 100% agree with you.
Now, I know our listeners are a lot like me, so it's almost like I made this question. You know, just pulling it out of here, the mailbag. our listeners have been thinking about, you know, if we are going to trade Mark Scheifele, who do we get in return? What is our wish list? As blue sky as it may be, as unlikely as it may be, I've come up with two names. Our listeners have come up with two names.
Well played.
And Mike, if you could only have one in a trade for Mark Scheifele, would you prefer Matt Barzal from the New York Islanders or Jonathan Huberdeau from Florida? Now, what am I basing that on? Ooh. Apparently, Barzal wasn't happy with Trotz.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Now, he's just not happy, and I don't know if the organization's happy with Barzal. I could be entirely wrong, but there's been rumors that he might want out of the island, even with Trotz gone. And the Huberdeau thing, what is that coming from? Well, Florida, they spent a lot of assets to go deep into the playoffs this year.
They did.
They didn't. They were out in the first round. Do they feel they might need a shakeup? Do they feel, you know, are they going to trade? Like, I think that if they were going to move someone, it wouldn't be Barkov. It might be Huberdeau. You bring in someone. I think they did have some problems scoring goals in that first round. You bring in someone with a little bit more punch like Scheifele could offer. So those two guys, let's just assume these are reasonable, you know, one for ones. Who would you like?
I'd go Huberdeau.
Really?
I like him. I like his game. And again, now I'm into the speculation part of this, but by all accounts, he's sort of not a glue guy per se, but very much team oriented. And I don't know if Florida would do that. It's kind of like shuffling deck chairs for both organizations to a certain extent. But it is something where I would. That he would be my pick. I like Barzal. Again, you know, not really Sophie's choice because they're both good options. Again, in a vacuum, if we could make those work. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know what it's somewhat personal preference, but I would go Huberdeau.
I think you bring up a great point is in that I think who they are as people would factor into a trade of this magnitude. And, you know, you often operate on limited information. So I like what you're saying there. I would go Barzal. Because if you trade Scheifele, it's likely that you're committing long-term to PLD. So then you have your PLD-Connor matchup, and then I could see Barzal being a great fit with Ehlers, and those guys just being able to
skate
rings around everyone. So, you know, is Mark Barzal another Mark Scheifele? Is he a problem in the room? Is he a malcontent superstar that doesn't like to play defense? I don't know. But that's kind of the basis for me choosing Barzal, is that I could see just a great partnership working with Ehlers. And then, you know, it doesn't, I don't think you need to have, you know, three of the same eggs on a line to make it work. You know, a lot of the best lines are worked off of a partnership, and then a guy that can provide something a little bit different on as the third guy. But that partnership, I think, could be special with Barzal and Ehlers.
No, fair points. And part of my reasoning was that, you know, if Barzal's not content where he is, then again, it's not a strike, but you know, the trots factor played it in. But I also I can't be hypocritical, because PLD wasn't happy where he was and he wanted out, right? And
yep.
By all accounts, we're very much all in the PLD camp. So these kind of things are a bit ethereal in that we don't know the full story. And so I can't be too hard on a player for wanting out, because I don't know the circumstances around it. That was a good one. So my last one, and again, I keep this a little silly, so to speak. So from a listener, which current Winnipeg Jet best resembles your podcasting style?
That's a great question. Do you have a ready to go
answer? Yeah, I'm going to say.
So you go and let me think about it for a second.
The conceit at the onset is going to sound a bit off, but I'm going to say Blake Wheeler, because.
Oh, that was the guy. Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm underperforming. I show up only in limited minutes.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, the two of us are the leaders of this thing, and I don't show a lot of leadership qualities. So I figure that fits.
You know what? Here, I got one. I got it. I'm Mark Scheifele.
Oh, okay. No.
I don't do any back checking. I don't do any of the background work. I only write like 5 jokes, and that's about it. Like, I just score goals, and I'm toxic in the room. You know this. I have no friends, and I force people to do my bidding in the workplace. So
that was well played. Maybe off that's the top
why.
Of your head.
Maybe that's why I've identified with Mark Scheifele for so long. I am the Mark Scheifele to your Blake Wheeler of this, but an epic duo in the history of the Winnipeg Jets.
There you
that
go.
Eventually,
you
fell
brought
flat
that
on
around.
Their face.
Nice.
That eventually fell flat on their face. So
the similarities are eerie.
Destiny is all, as they say on The Last Kingdom. Well, this was fun, Mike. I don't know. It was fun. I think that there was no recent losses or anything to get angry about in the last 2 weeks. Our listeners can see how having the Jets out of our life for a couple of weeks has changed our perspective.
And demeanors.
And demeanors and all of those types of things. I enjoyed doing this. We'll probably not do another one, I think, until after the draft. That might be a good time to revisit the coaching, if anything's happened with the coaching, talk about who the Jets have drafted, or maybe even wait till after July 1 and we can talk about what happened on the free agency market. It is, you know, and then, you know, during that interregnum, what are we going to be focusing on? 2 things, Mike. What are they? Boats.
And hose.
And hose. And not in that order.
Well done. You on that perfect note. All you right. Want to take us out?
Absolutely. So, fellow travelers, that's it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us in the Airport Lounge, the official Faceoff Hockey Network podcast for the Winnipeg Jets. Check us out on Twitter at AirportLounge55, on the interweb at thefhn.net, with all episodes also available on Apple, Spotify, and Overcast Podcast. Be sure to come back next episode to the Airport Lounge, because the first round is always on us. Until then, go Jets, go. We sail around the world and go port to port. Every time I come, I produce a quart. Put on your life vest, let's jump anchor. There's a nice lady who I like to spank her. Jack Sparrow, take off my pants, she can see my flush arrow. Make sure to wax, use your mom's hair. You'll be amazed when I come in your hair. Pull up the anchor, cause we're leaving dry land. Get below deck, with a tick in your hand. Anchor.
years away and shiver me timbers. We like to fuck ladies with our 8-inch members.
Love me hookers who be a cabbie. Ain't had lemons and limes so contracted the scabby.
Drop the ink and